That's working, no problem. And let's start the video. And that's working, and it's perfect volume. And the study is where? Let's see, right there. Praise the Lord. Hold on one sec, let me minimize that. Shabbat Shalom. I was waiting for the da 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 da. But that was great.
Yay.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's pray and ask God to bless this study once again. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, I thank and praise you that you're in the midst of us and you give us joy and happiness. Bless and anoint this Sabbath. Always cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that's unclean. Get it away from us. Make us a holy nation, a peculiar people of kings and priests. Bless this study today. Let it be fruitful. Help everyone. And let it sink into our ears, Lord and God, who we really are. I pray you'll move in this room and let your Holy Spirit touch everyone today in Yeshua's name. And we just thank God for every decision you give us and discernment, and increase our faith with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of the Lord. And we just thank God for the blood of Yeshua today in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you. Well, today is July 11th, 2015, and this is the first time I'm saying the word July, and it comes from Julius Caesar. There he is. And it used to be the Julius Caesar, the Reformed Roman calendar, hence the Julian calendar, in 46 BC. In process of time, he renamed the month after himself. Why not? Caesar, you know, why not call it July, Julius? And that's where that word July comes from. However, we're in the fourth month of God, 23rd day, which still has no name. And the only verse for Talmuz is found in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14, where women are weeping for this Talmuz, which seems like some pagan deity. And Talmuz is actually a Sumerian deity of food and vegetation, a Phoenician deity, you know, false gods. Anyway, you guys are very familiar, people that are here, except for, I think, one person in the room that I'm not familiar with. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up subjects and topics maybe you're not familiar with, or maybe you don't think about in your everyday life. I'd like to undelete some of these for you. Well, my servers, thank God, are still running back there. You can read them, you can hear them, you can watch them. You could even download them to your MP3 players. I think we're in the room right now. I think they could see me on their real player, correct? And there's the URL that you'd put right in the real player, MMS, right there. One of these days, I still would like to be invited some places. I haven't received any invitations lately. I don't know why. I guess it's summertime. Everyone's gone. It's pretty hard to serve God in the spring and summer, isn't it? It's just too nice out there. Anyway. I said that, and it's too cold in the winter, and it's too long to go, and sometimes it's too short. It's always too something not to show up. But anyway, there's the Hebrew roots I'd like to come and talk to you about. You can just click on that link. That'll tell you what it takes. The big question is, why are we here today? Well, all of us here know we're here today because we're supposed to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Isn't that amazing? Holy is set apart to the God of Israel, and to be in a room with like-minded brothers and sisters and have enjoyment and happiness. You know, Sabbath is a delight. It's not a day of punishment, or it's not a day of, as far as I see, it's not a day of fasting. It's a day of delight and happiness, and I don't know if you could fast or not. That's between you and God, but it's supposed to be a delight. The fourth commandment is part of it's a covenant that we made with God. A covenant is an agreement. It's like when you do any kind of legal thing, you make an agreement, a document, you know, and everyone signs their name to it. Well, spiritually, we signed our name to it, and we've entered a covenant with God, and it's the fourth commandment, which is part of the covenant given to us on Mount Sinai in the third month, Sivan. And that's really important. So the fourth commandment is just one of the commandments out of the Ten Commandments, which is, and everybody in our congregation already knows where the commandments are, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 20 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Right. Exodus 20. And it's on, starts Friday night to Saturday night, right? So this, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. My mind, sorry, I must have made an error there because my mind flashed to, remember, doesn't, how could you remember it if no one speaks about it? And that's what zichron, you know, means to not only just remember it, but to speak about it so other people, you can get it in their noggins and they'll get it down. 6 days you have to do all your labor and all your work. 7th day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. The 7th day is the Sabbath of Jehovah. I guess John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it says, in it you're not supposed to do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your men servant, maid servant, even your animals, if you have cattle or whatever you have, even anyone that's within your gates, even if you have people coming and doing work, they're supposed to cease. You know? 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the Sabbath day, the 7th day. Wherefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, I don't remember seeing that about any other day of the week, where God actually blessed it, hallowed it, and set it apart, and it's a sign to us. Exodus 31 is something I used to read all the time, and I used to have a pamphlet. I used to actually, you guys never seen the pamphlet. Maybe, I think I have one at back at my house, I could bring it to you guys and show you a pamphlet I used to hand out to everyone, and we used to all read it. We had a whole program of what we did on the Sabbath. And this is one of the portions in Exodus 31:13 I used to read. And I used to see some, I used to look out while I'm saying it, and we used to all read it together. And some people sort of got like a real serious look on their face. They're no longer with us. But I mean, here's what it says. And I did not write this. It says, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. And that's all the Sabbaths, because the 7 Sabbaths in the feast of God. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Jehovah, that doth sanctify you. Okay? You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. Wow. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Wow, that's powerful. 6 days may work be done, but in the 7th is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Jehovah. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. And, you know, I remember reading this, and I used to get scared. I still get a little scared myself when I read it. But the people in the congregation at that time, out of the pamphlet, they used to look at like, something I wrote. I said, no, I didn't write this. This is in your Bibles. Now, we're not going to kill anybody. Don't think that. But if you happen to expire and you didn't remember the Sabbath to keep it holy and you just fluffed it off, you're going to have an eternal death waiting for you. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations. It's a perpetual covenant. Isn't that amazing? A perpetual covenant we're in. And Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done. The 7th day is the Sabbath of rest, a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh. It's a sacred assembly, a public meeting. You shall do no work therein. It's a Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So wherever you dwell on this day, anywhere you end up, you have to make sure it's Sabbath worthy. Yeah. You can't just go to someone's house where they're having parties and watching video games and you think you're going to go sneak in the room and keep the Sabbath. That's not the way it works. Okay? Deuteronomy 5:12 says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as Jehovah thy God commands you. Did he ask you if you had time or if it had a chance? No, as he commands you. 6 days you're supposed to labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of Jehovah thy God. In it, you're not supposed to do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your menservant, your maidservant, your ox. Now they have, it's the ox and the ass or any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that's within thy gates, that thy menservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as you. Very important. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Jehovah thy God brought you out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Wherefore Jehovah thy God commands you to keep the Sabbath day. You know, it's to us, it's, I know it's a commandment, but we come here freely. You know, it's not like a burden to us. You know, actually, we like coming here for the Sabbath. We like coming to a Sabbath. And it's just separates us from the world, actually. Breaking the fourth commandment is the Sabbath is a sin. And no sin went to the kingdom of God, right? I could discern that as a righteous judge and as a priest, which we're going to find out. But before we get into the whole subject today, just a note, next Friday night starts the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, will be in the fifth month of God, and there's no name again for the fifth month. Judaism calls it Av, but that's not scriptural because there's no way to verify that, okay? Today's topic goes right with, I guess, discerning the Sabbath and understanding it. Your gods, your judges, your kings, your priests, your holy nation. And you have to remember this on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, month-to-month basis, you know, year-to-year. I mean, you have to think about it every day. If you forget, you know, you could start doing and saying and acting the wrong way. And that's really important to try, because you're a light of the world, right? Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and Jehovah called unto him out of the mountain. Wow, could you imagine that? Imagine God calling unto you out of a mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and go tell the children of Israel, You have seen that what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, a gem, you know, segula in the Hebrew, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And I was trying to get this in my mind a lot this when I was given this message, because this has to become you. You know, you have to become this is you. You're a priest. You're a holy nation. You're a king and a queen, you know. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So I figured it says this there, but let's go to Peter. Peter wrote a letter to some people. And he says, You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Yeshua the Messiah. And verse 9 says, We're a chosen generation. It's pretty amazing. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And what are we supposed to do? That you should show forth praises unto him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but thank God we have obtained mercy now. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we are kings and priests, and this discernment and understanding should always be with us in all matters, because we're gods, and we'll read about that in a few minutes. In the book of Revelation, we read, chapter 1, the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto the servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah and of all things that he saw. So you just get blessed if you do this, if you read this. Blessed is he that reads, and they that keep the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And unfortunately for these people, they no longer exist, the seven churches which are in Asia, you know. But we can always get some information out of that for us. This is John to the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Praise the Lord. I love that. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Seven spirits of God. And from Yeshua the Messiah, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Amen. The first one to have an incorruptible body. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise the Lord. And what did he do? He made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So we're kings unto the Father, and queens, and holy people unto the Father. Praise the Lord. Very important position. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Oh, there's men in heaven? Oh. Oh, what are they doing there? I thought there was no people in heaven. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, which was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So John was all broken down there. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Wow. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, try to picture that. There's the throne, the four beasts, and then the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth through all the earth. Wow. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. Could you imagine somebody with that amazing... I mean, he went right up to the throne of the Father and took the book right out of his hand. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four elders, they fell down before the Lamb. Wow. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And I hope some of our prayers are in there. And they sung a new song, saying, you're worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And you made us unto God, we're unto God kings and priests, and we're going to reign on the earth. I hope the New Jerusalem too. So with this special heavy title that's given to you before the Father, what are the duties of judges? And you are God's judges with God's word to judge righteously. And you become more than a shrewd sleut or a cunning detective, you know, but now you become a real judge. You become the judge with righteous judgment to judge all matters. Psalm 82, God stands in the congregation of the mighty, congregation of El. He judgeth the gods, Elohim. So God's judging the gods. He's judging the judges. What are you judging, he's saying. And there's the little concordance of the word El. You could see what it means. You could read all that later. How long will you... So God is judging the judges, saying, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Selah. Think that over. You're supposed to be defending the poor and the fatherless, to do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's what you're supposed to do. However, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And he says, I have said you are gods. Don't you get it? And all of you are the children of the Most High. Ani amati Elohim atem uvane elyon hulachem. That's what that says. But all you shall die like men if you judge unjustly and fall as one of the princesses. Arise, O God. I guess show them their true judgment. Judge the earth. For thou shalt inherit all the nations, all nations. So, this judgment and discernment and result we should have, you know, this the way we should be, our posture and the way we should carry ourselves as kings and queens and holy people. Judge not according to appearance, we judge righteous judgment, John says, Yeshua says. Yeshua says, I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Yeshua answered, many good works have I showed you from the Father. Of which works do you want to stone me? Which one do you want to stone me for? The Jews answered, saying, first, good work we don't want to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you say, for you being a man, you're saying you're making yourself God. And Yeshua answered them, is it not written in your Torah? I said, you are gods. You're supposed to be gods too with righteous judgment. So where does it say it in the Torah is the question, because I read Psalm 82 to you. Well, if you want to read about the judgments that you're supposed to have, you can read Exodus 21, 22, 23, and Leviticus 20. And of Exodus 31, yes. Exodus 21 says, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. And this is just an example. If you buy a Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the 7 years shall go out freely from nothing. And if he come in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. What do you think of that? And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will go not out free. Okay? Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. But in the Hebrew, he's going to bring him unto the Elohim. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an oar, and he shall serve him forever. But what I wanted to show you was, if you read a little Hebrew and you have some Hebrew Bible, right there where it says judges, it says the Elohim, Ha Elohim, which is the plural for gods, the gods. It actually says the gods in Hebrew. And to prove that again, go to Exodus 22:8. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the Ha Elohim, the judges, the gods, to see whether he had put in his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the causes of both priests shall come before the Elohim, the judges, and whom the Elohim shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. So this is very important. And the only way you could be a righteous judge or God, so to speak, you have to know the Torah. Otherwise, you could never be in that position. Correct? John says, Yeshua says in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. Amen. John 12:47 says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejected me and received not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So you don't want that to happen to you, do you? You don't want to be judged unrighteously or unjust. The Father judges no man, but he commits all judgment unto the Son, which is the Word of God, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father which hath sent him. This is not a long study, so I want you to understand this is all about your gods, your judges, your priests, a holy nation. Paul tells the Corinthians, know ye not that you're going to judge angels? If you have any judgments of things pertaining to this life, you can even set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church, because they're not going to use their own judgment. They're going to use the judgment of God because they are gods. Amen. God's judgment, yes. Leviticus 19 says, verse 15, you should do no unrighteousness in judgment. Never, never do that. You should not respect the poor person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, right? Some people only honor poor people that show up. No, no, you have to make sure they're righteous too. You have to treat everyone the same. All the rich that walk in, you can't treat them special treatment. But in righteousness shall you judge thy neighbor. You're not supposed to go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Jehovah. Thou shalt not hate your brother or sister in your heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, not suffer sin upon them. And that's one of the things that really has really set us apart, and some people don't like that, to be reproved and to be corrected. You guys all know that, right? They don't like to be reproved for sin. You know, this study was for people that I wish they would listen to it, some people that are not here today. But even my last four studies indicates what I was trying to get at in the last four studies, and this makes five. The last study was some wrong terms people use in the pseudo-religious world. And then the previous study before that was sound doctrine. You shouldn't have sound doctrine. And the one study before that was the checklist of what to do and where to go, where to attend. I mean, I couldn't have gotten any closer to what you should do. And then, of course, Bible 101 was before that, right? I did it again. And if you just took those four studies and today's, you should be able to discern where to go, who to be around, who's scriptural, who's not scriptural, where heresy lies, and you don't want to do that. After these studies, I can determine who's a true arbitrator, mediator, a judge. Can you? An arbitrator is a person chosen to decide a dispute or settle differences, especially one formerly empowered to examine the facts and decide the issue. I feel like I can do that. I could be a mediator, a person who mediates, especially between parties at variance, only because I know God's word, not because I'm going to use any of my wit or my intellect. I'm going to use God's judgment. You should be able to examine any congregation or church and make a righteous judgment call, whether there are a few people or a large group, if they are scriptural, correct? I mean, you should walk right in. If a guy's a messianic rabbi, red flag. If he's calling himself rabbi, red flag. Right? If they're using the wrong Bible, red flag. If they're eating the wrong food, red flag. If they're just having a Sabbath service and then break the Sabbath the rest of the day, big time red flag. If they have false heresy doctrines, really red flag. I mean, we could discern it so much. That's the whole reason we're such a few here. We don't even know where to go. Otherwise, we'd be there tomorrow. And I say that very truly. If there was another group of people that I knew were really keeping the commandments and the Sabbaths, you wouldn't see me next week. I'd say, come on, let's go join them. Yeah. So we can all fellowship. But where are they? Not around, not here in Tennessee that I could find, or not around this vicinity. Paul, in his letter, he could easily discern who's not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Can you? Do you have that boldness to say, certain people are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven? You should be able to. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. He makes it very clear that the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. I mean, if you see someone committing adultery, how many true believers commit adultery? None. How many true believers are fornication or uncleanness or lasciviousness? Idolatry. How many true believers are in witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, sedition? Strife, seditions, sedition against God, heresies. How many, even envying, some people envy. And murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, I could discern this just like Apostle Paul. And I could tell you, which I told you in time past, and I'm telling you today, that they which do such things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So you should be able to say the same thing with all boldness. And you shouldn't beat around the bush. Just say, if you're doing these things, you have to repent and stop doing them, right? You know, damnable heresies are, they will doom your soul and you'll lose your eternal life. Paul tells the Corinthians, first of all, when you come together in this ecclesia, these people that are supposed to be set apart to God, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it, for there must also be heresies among you, that they that are approved may be made manifest among you. So once you notice that there's divisions in a group, know also there's heresies festering. And that's what I wrote. And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, these false prophets showed up among the people, even as there's going to be false teachers among you. Even today, there's false teachers who privily shall bring in, they're going to bring in damnable heresies. But these people back in Peter's time, they brought in this doctrine. They deny that the Lord brought them, and they bought them and brought upon themselves swift destruction. We also notice there is, if there are divisions, then there must be heresies. Most divisions are caused by people that do not know Scripture, and therefore heresies fester. You know, they start multiplying and growing like a fungus. So you got to be real careful because it has to be extracted sooner or later. In closing, this is not a long study, but I do want to read this one last chapter to you before you wilt away. Revelation 22. John says again, and he showed me a pure river of life, of river of water of life. It's a pure river of water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. There it is. People are looking for the tree of life down here. Even scientists are saying they might have the tree of life. Being the live-all pill, you know, you can live forever. You could look that up on the Drudge. But I know where the tree of life is. There was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Just talk about a health. There's one right there. Because what's going to happen in this scenario, there's going to be no more curse. No curse, when you go out to Jerusalem, there's no more burritos, no more nothing. Everything's cursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it and serve him. And they're going to see his face, and his name is going to be in their foreheads. The other people are going to have the mark of the beast in their foreheads. We're Father in our foreheads. Just think of that. No night. There's going to be no candle. In our days, we're not going to need electricity. You know? The sun, the solar, gives them light, and they forever and ever. I mean, forever with wrong and emptiness, and you never, you're perfect, and you're a unto God. And he said unto me, "These are faithful and true," and I'm saying that too. "The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Yeshua says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed are they that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book." John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He says, "I, John, saw these things and I heard them. When I heard and seen, I was like, oh, I just went and fell down before the feet of the angel that showed me these things." But the angel said, "See that you do that not. Get up. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." And he said unto me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." And I say the same thing, even today. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And Yeshua says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every person according as your work shall be." We're going to be judged according to our works. Whoa. "I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments." Amen. Why? "That you may have right to that tree of life and live forever. and that you may enter in through the gates of the city. Just think, you could just open those gates and just jump right in there, and you have the eternal life and the tree of life. And Adam and Eve, they should have bit on the tree of life. They ate on the tree of good and evil. They ate on the wrong one. Because without, out of the city, there's going to be dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and everyone that loves and makes a lie. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Praise the Lord. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let anyone that hears say, come. And let anyone that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let them take of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord. For I testify unto everyone that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds unto these things, God's going to add unto you the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God's going to take away your part out of the book of life, no eternal security. And out of the holy city, no eternal security. And from the things that are written in this book, he that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And I testify these things, Father, and I say, surely you come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Yeshua. Shabbat shalom, my holy nation, my peculiar people, my judges, my gods, and I'm one of them also. And I hope you got something out of this message, and may God show you who you really are, and may you live it every day, and may God be with you. Shalom. Shabbat shalom. And I'm going to stop the audio.